Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 6. We begin at the first verse. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." These are the words. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and sustainer of human life, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. A few months back, I decided to dust off the bread machine and make myself a loaf of fresh bread. With a song in my heart, I found a recipe for the bread machine on the internet, and I began putting the ingredients in the machine in the proper amount and in the proper order. When I came to the second to last ingredient, I hit a snag. The recipe called for powdered milk. I was pretty sure we had some, but when I looked, I couldn't find any. So thinking like a man, I figured, I'll just put in the same amount of real milk. Milk is milk, right? Good enough, I thought. And after adding the final ingredients, I started the bread machine and went about my work looking forward to tasting and smelling fresh baked bread. When the bread machine beeped a few hours later, signaling that it had completed its task, I opened the lid and looked at my loaf of bread. It didn't look quite right. It didn't seem to have risen as much as it should have. And when I took it out of the machine, it seemed as dense as a white-hot star. Much denser than bread should be. I learned that day that there's a reason to call for powdered milk. I also learned that bread production might not be my forte. I think I'd be better off if we just bought the next loaf of bread. While providing myself a loaf of bread to eat was just an afterthought, something I thought I'd enjoy, it was somewhat more important when Jesus of Nazareth turned to his disciples, his pupils, on the northeastern shore of the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude of more than 5,000 people had followed him across the lake because they witnessed his miracles, healing diseased people. They were not attracted by his word, but by the miracles. And they were gathered in a remote place near 2 very small towns. It would be truly difficult to provide bread for them, and it was late, and they were hungry. It's in this way that we're introduced to the fourth of the signs recorded in the Gospel of John. We've noted thus far that these signs are related to us to show us that Jesus is the Son of God. This miracle certainly shows that. It also shows us that He is the one who sustains human life. May God the Holy Spirit open our spiritual understanding and our eyes so that we may see the signs and, hearing Christ's word, believe that He is the one who also sustains our lives. Amen. We probably don't think of it like this, but when Jesus sat down on that mountain with His disciples, school was in session. After all, Jesus chose these 12 men to follow Him, to teach them. We know the disciples by name, and we often hear that term, disciple, but I think we tend to forget what the word itself really means. What is a disciple? Literally, a disciple is a pupil, a student, a learner, a follower. We send our children to school, right to the teacher, so that the teacher, hopefully, can teach them. The disciples were Jesus' students, and they followed Him, and He taught them. As they listened to the words that were given by God to Jesus, for Jesus to speak, they learned God's will for them. They learned about God's plan to save them. They learned that He was their deliverer from sin and death. They were Jesus' students. Jesus was the teacher. But this morning, you and I are both observers and students in Jesus' classroom. You have come to sit at His feet and to listen to His word that you may learn from Him. The Holy Spirit enables us to listen to Jesus through His word. And we do so not so that we can look down our noses at the other students, those ones from a couple centuries ago, but more than that, but rather so that we also learn from Him. We begin by thinking about the question that Jesus asked of His pupils and the problem He asked them to solve. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this He said to test him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Like any good teacher, Jesus began by getting His students thinking with a question, with a problem that they were to solve. While He directed this particular question at one particular student, Philip, all the rest of us should consider the question as well. He wants all of us to think about it. He probably asked Philip because Philip was actually from that area and would be familiar with where they might purchase enough bread at such an hour for so many people. We might even think of this as a pop quiz. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus' purpose was to test them. It was an opportunity for the teacher to see what His students had learned from the signs that they had witnessed. So we both consider the teacher's question and the student's answer. "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. But Jesus didn't ask if they could afford it. Still, Philip's answer was, "Teacher, we don't have enough money. Even if we had 200 denarii," that a denarius was a day's wage, "even if we had 200 days' wages, it wouldn't be enough to buy a saltine cracker for everyone. To say nothing of whether there is enough bread in these surrounding cities to purchase." And so Philip didn't really even try to answer Jesus' question. Philip's was the fiscally responsible answer. "Jesus, we can't afford it, so we can't do anything." It's good to be conscientious about money, but sorry, Philip receives a failing grade on the pop quiz. Why be so hard on Philip? Philip's answer failed because he didn't consider that Jesus can provide regardless of the outward circumstance. Instead of looking first to Jesus, he attacked the question with his own head. Jesus Christ is a sustainer of human life. The Bible says of him in Colossians, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And he's the one that gives us what we need, what we have. Unfortunately, as human beings, we tend to forget this and look at things the way that Philip did. And then, erroneously, call it responsible. It's irresponsible not to first look to Jesus in faith. And we give ourselves far too much credit when we consider ourselves our own providers. Christ wants us to look first to him to provide. Are we too proud to step back and admit that we are dependent on him? It would seem that Philip's expectations of Jesus were far too low. What are our expectations of the Savior? We may count on the Lord Jesus to provide, and not merely look at him as a last resort in fruitless situations. But Philip wasn't the only one with an answer. There was another student who offered his own. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "Here is a lad with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Once again, what was Jesus' question? Where they might buy bread. But Andrew said, "Teacher, we looked around to see what we already had. We thought maybe that if we pooled what we had, we might have enough. Unfortunately, we only found this boy who had 5 barley loaves, call them bread cakes, and a couple of small fish. That's certainly not enough. What good will that do?" Andrew's answer was the thrifty answer. "Let's try to make do with what we have, even though what we have isn't enough." Again, it's okay to be thrifty, but Andrew's answer still receives a failing grade. Why? Like Philip, he didn't consider that Jesus could take the little that they had and make it more. Andrew was there when Jesus took the water and made it to wine. What could stop Jesus from taking these few little barley loaves and 2 small fish and feeding 5,000 plus? So what about us? Are we willing to invest what we have in him and rely upon him to make more of it? Shall we assume that Jesus can't help us and that we must first help ourselves? I'm not saying that we should be foolish with the gifts that God gives, but we should neither be Scrooges about it. He's promised that he will bless those who trust in him. He's promised us that his word will be effective when we share it with others. He guarantees a return. And yet, how often do we share his word with others? Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Jesus never answered his own question, at least not verbally. He answered with his actions. He told them to seat the people in groups and to prepare to eat. When they did, we're told that the number of men was about 5,000, meaning this banquet would have to serve more than 5,000, including the women and the children. So Jesus took the bread. Did they think it was all for him? Were they just going to watch him eat? No. He gave thanks to the Father, and he began to break pieces off the little loaves and then the two little fish. And he shared it with them. And they shared it with others. And they ate all that they wanted. While this is a quiet miracle, as miracles go, don't fail to see the sign for what it is. It's yet another proof that Jesus is the Son of God and the one who can and does sustain human life to this very day. Perhaps not in the same ways, but he surely gives us health and the ability to do what we do, to earn the money that we have with which we provide for our own. But let's not forget that nothing has changed. Jesus is still our provider. He still shares with us what is his. For the psalmist, the Bible's hymn writer, says it like this: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so he gives us all that we need and more than we need. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." So they had all that they wanted and were satisfied. Then Jesus told his disciples to collect the leftovers so that nothing was wasted. Because you see, abundance isn't an excuse for waste, which is a lesson we could all serve to learn today. And so the Jews, remembering the bread that God provided their fathers from heaven, the manna, as a gift, considered bread to be a gift from God. It was customary among the Jews to pick up every scrap that fell to the floor and gather it into small wicker baskets that they carried with them, with which they could snack. In this case, there were no little wicker baskets, but rather 12 large baskets. We should also consider our daily bread, our food and drink, to be a gift of God, because that is what it is. It is a daily reminder of the Savior's love for us. It's a sign that we shouldn't overlook because of its abundance. When they had collected the scraps, they put two and two together and they saw the sign for what it was. They concluded that Jesus was the prophet whom God promised through Moses would come, whose word God would put in that prophet's mouth. And their conclusion was spot on. But they still missed that this sign proved him to be more than a prophet, but the very Son of God and the sustainer of human life. Don't you miss the sign either. Jesus is the sustainer of human life, both physical and, more importantly, spiritual. We know how these bodies are sustained. Jesus also sustains your spirit, your soul, by means of the food that lasts to eternal life, his word. Physical food is a necessity. Some of us need less of it than the rest of you. But spiritual food is far more important. When the same multitude kept following, Jesus told them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." They said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Don't let your expectations of Jesus be too low. Don't merely look to him for the sake of your earthly body and life, but also for the sake of your soul. Look to him who is the Son of God and the sustainer of human life. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.